Willkommen bei Die Kraft der Geschichten. Welcome to the power of stories. I have Jelani Prescott in the interview today. Ich habe Jelani Cordelia Prescott im Interview today, heute. Und das Interview ist auf Englisch. Du findest die deutschen Untertitel auf YouTube. If you watch the interview on YouTube, you find the German subtitles. Enjoy. So welcome to the Power of Stories. I'm very happy to sit here in the field of the Unicorn Voice Camp with Jelani. And she is leading dancers of universal peace in such a beautiful way. I'm so happy to share your time. A very warm welcome.
Thank you, Annika. So nice to be here with you.
Yeah, we share this wonderful week together in our camp circle. It's really a heartful time, good for the heart.
Yeah, it really is.
And I dance almost every morning with you and Salik, the dancers of universal peace, and it's such a good way to pray, to wake up, to feel the heart, to feel the community of people. I'm so happy. And yeah, what's your reason to lead these beautiful dancers?
Well, for me, they're a healing practice. They're, as you say, a wonderful way to pray, to remember the many beautiful names of the divine in many languages, and to feel through the lenses of the many, many beautiful traditions around the world, all of which are windows and doors into the divine.
Mm. How did you yourself find it? How did it come to you?
Well, funnily enough, it was on a camp very much like this one.
Oh, right.
And I didn't really know anything about it, but I kind of was searching for something, and I saw an advert for this camp. And I remember saying to Salik, my husband, we were together even then, this is nearly 30 years ago now, I said, there's this camp, I'm going. I don't know what it is, but I'm going, and you can come if you want to. So he said, oh, okay. So we both went, and that's how we met the dancers.
Mm. What are your precious moments in leading the dancers?
Well, it's funny. I think the first precious moment at that time, you know, in our marriage, we'd been together for some time, but we had no children. I couldn't really feel a way to bring children into the world that I knew at that time. And when I saw this space of the camp and the dances and the music and the sacred chanting and how the children were held in that space, I thought, oh, now this I can see. So the first precious moment was for us to have three precious children.
Oh, this makes me shiver.
And so our children, yeah, they were carried and born and brought up in amongst the music and the prayers of the dances. Yeah. And now they've all flown the nest. They've all left home. They're all in their 20s now. And so for me, life has opened up in a new way. And so now I have so many precious moments with the dances because I've been invited, I've been privileged to be invited to lead dances all over the world. So, yeah, in India, in Turkey, in Morocco, across Europe and in America, and next year in Australia and New Zealand. So, yeah.
Wow. Oh, that's amazing. Mm. And for you yourself, it's also a source of healing. And
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's interesting, you know, a few people have come to me this week and said, oh, it feels like that you live this practice. And actually, I mean, I'm very touched that that's what they say to me, but it is actually how it feels. You know, this is, I remember a time when Salik and I, when we just had one child at that time, and we were traveling in the car between two camps, and we were so excited about the dances and the music and sharing them. And we said, oh, you know, one day we'll travel the world doing this. And I felt like, you know, I wanted it, my life to feel like this, you know, the feeling I could get from the dances, the feeling of connection and groundedness and open-hearted loving and feeling of presence of the divine. This was what I wanted my life to feel like and to look like. And that's what I feel very blessed that is how my life feels a lot of the time.
Wow, that's beautiful. Even you as a couple, you made me cry this morning just to realize you're doing it together. It was like flashed me and I thought, oh, this is so beautiful.
It's a real precious gift, and you know, like any couple, you know, we've had our difficulties. You know, it's not always a breeze. We're quite different as personalities, and you know, we have our sensitivities, but actually, the dances and the other practices around the dances and the communities that they've led us to have been a huge support in our growth and understanding, and. You know, we've done a lot of work together, and you know, alhamdulillah, thanks to God, we're in a much better place than we've ever been before, and it's really lovely to stand side by side and share these practices.
Yeah, it's like something bigger holding you together, which is bigger than you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was funny, yesterday we were pulling the little wagon here up the hill to fill up the water bottles, and so many people stopped us. They wanted to take our photos. It's like, I think it was something very symbolic for people actually to see us together, a man and wife pulling this wagon uphill. And, you know, it's like, I guess it's not such a common thing, you know. So, yeah, it's precious, and it certainly has been something that has sustained me through when times have been difficult, and to see a way through, and to feel that this is what I want, you know, is to persevere and find the joy in being together.
And you also work with the teenagers here on the field, which is a really gorgeous and beautiful thing you do.
Such a precious thing. I love that wild young energy. And you know, like this afternoon, they come and they go, oh, actually, don't come today because we're doing something else that we were going to do yesterday, but now we're doing it today. So, yeah, okay, fine. So you have to be flexible when you work with young people, but the rewards are immense. You know, it's so precious. And I particularly love to share these practices with young people because they were designed for young people. So, it's, you know, the dances were created in the 1960s. They began through a man called Samuel Lewis in San Francisco. He was working with the hippies, all these young people who were seeking something and searching, and so many of them were searching through drugs to find a sense of the divine. So he used to say to his students, he said, I can show you any of those experiences that you can get through taking drugs. There's a name for them in Sanskrit. They're like, these are all experiences that I can give you in a different way. And so those the dances and the other practices, because the dances are only one part, actually, of his work, his practices. But they literally were designed working with teenagers and people in their 20s and maybe early 30s. So it's great. It's always wonderful to use in that age range.
And you've done that for quite a while already.
Yeah, I've done it in the UK a fair bit at the camps there particularly. And there's a group of kids, I suppose, who grew up around my own kids, and you know, some my own kids not always so willing to be part of it because it's not
I understand.
So cool when it's mum. Yes. but some of their friends.
Is there a culture you have a particular heart connection to?
You know, really, it depends from moment to moment. And but often I would say the Sufi culture, the Arab language, I find very beautiful, and that's often where I turn to for the practices. So these dances came through a Sufi tradition. It's a universal Sufi tradition, so it's it very consciously includes all the paths and all the traditions, but its roots are in Sufism, and that feels strong to me, therefore. But it was interesting, when I was in India earlier this year, I visited an ashram of Papa Ram Das, who is in some ways called our Hindu grandfather of the dances, if you like. And so he achieved enlightenment through repeating the phrase Om Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram. Mm. And it's so special to go to his ashram where, you know, nearly 100 years after he set it up, they're still saying Shri Ram, Jai Ram, Jai Jai Ram, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all the time. Overnight, they put on a recording. But 6 a.m. till 6 p.m., it's constantly there. It's being sung and chanted there. And to feel the atmosphere in that place, I was so very touched by it. And actually, I could really feel the sense of Samuel Lewis and the dances, and realize how much he actually learned from Papa Ram Das. He spent time at that ashram himself. And so that was a really special connection with a tradition that I haven't always found it so easy to understand it hasn't been so familiar. So I'm really grateful for that.
Mm. Oh, beautiful. I feel you're creating such a high energy on this field here. Every morning it gets even lighter and even higher up, and the hearts open even a little bit more. It's such a beautiful work you do. I'm so thankful. Mm.
Thank you, Annika. I think that these are really powerful practices for doing just that. They are so good at bringing a community together, making people feel connected, feel heart connection with each other, feel open to each other, and then yes, the atmosphere becomes higher and higher and more refined, and the more we do it together, that's the more it happens. Yeah.
It's also so nice to look into people's eyes while singing these prayers. It's like such a beautiful thing.
It's a really precious practice, that, yeah. And it's that's something that in a way comes from the Hindu tradition, and it's known as darshan, this blessing with the eyes. And it's a really important part of the dances, these partner dances where we spend time looking deep into each other's eyes. The eyes are the windows of the soul, we say in English, and it's like you can really see somebody and feel seen in a way that at first can be quite unnerving if you're not used to it. It's quite a bit exposing, perhaps. I remember when I would first find it a bit too much sometimes, that's okay, you know, that's but with time and practice, the capacity grows to be able to hold that space and to show yourself and to see somebody else. And it's not something that we do much in Western life, you know, that time just to look into each other's eyes. I wanted to say another thing. You know, we talked a lot about the atmosphere going high and these loving connections, but one thing that I find really important, and I think it increases the power, is the grounded nature of the dances, because they're so embodied. We are moving our feet together in rhythm on the earth, and so this harmonizing our bodies in rhythm and being really present in our bodies, it's actually a very revolutionary type of meditation. It's quite extraordinary, and I feel like, in a way, it's a practice whose time is coming. It's like, we haven't fully realized the potential of this really embodied and present concentration and fully involving the whole of our being, you know, with our voices and our brains and our hearts and our feet, and, you know, it's all included.
For me, it's the best. I cannot sit still very long. Mm-hmm. And I really love to move while I pray.
Well, it's so interesting, isn't it? We even notice this because obviously there's lots of beautiful singing happening on this field. But I notice looking around how people love to move when
yes.
they sing. You know, it brings an extra dimension to be moving while we sing. So, yeah, to sing together, harmonizing our voices, and then, yeah, to move our bodies, and either freely, but then there's something about when we move together, again, our bodies are harmonized. That brings another layer.
Yeah, and it's simple, so you don't have to think a lot. Mm-hmm. You can easily adapt it, and the body is just doing...
Yeah.
Moving. Oh, beautiful. And you would like to share a song, one of those beautiful songs?
Yeah, so this is one that has words in English and also in Arabic. And it reflects some of the things that I think are really precious and valuable about this practice, which... it's easy to, first of all, experience these dances as something very light and joyful, which they are, and they really are good at bringing people together and making people have a good time, helping mm-hmm. people to have a good time. They're very enjoyable. But, you know, we live in difficult times, and people are often feeling difficult feelings for many reasons. The dances for me are very much a healing practice. And so one of my Sufi teachers has a mantra, an English mantra that he likes to share, which is, "This is how it is right now." So this is a way to drop into the moment. You know, we might wish that things are different. We might be unhappy with how things are. But this is how it is right now. So sometimes he will just get us to repeat that together in the group, just like you would a mantra, you know, this is how it is right now, and feel what that feels like. So that's part of the song. And then the other part is a pair of the beautiful names of Allah, which are used for healing. So the first one, Ya Shafi, means the source of all healing. And the second one, Ya Kafi. Kafi means enough, so simply sufficient. It's like, just being able to receive from the source of all healing just exactly what we need right now. Yeah, this is how it is right now. So this is a song. It's actually a dance as well that was created by one of my students, and I love to share it. So I didn't bring my guitar, but I'll just sing it without. This is how it is right now. 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 Ya Shafi, Ya Kafi, Ya Shafi, Ya Kafi. This is how it is right now. 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 Ya Shafi, Ya Kafi, Ya Shafi, Ya Kafi.
That's so beautiful.
Thank thank you. Just a little tiny taste.
What makes your leading of the dances really special is that at some point of the dance you pick up your violin and play, and it's several times the moment when I start to cry and we stop singing. Even you lead us to breathe the dance, and you start playing the violin, and it goes even deeper. It's amazing.
Well, thank you. I think it's something very special and particular with these dances. We always use live music. It's never done with recorded music.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's done without instruments.
Mm.
But, you know, we're lucky that we are musicians. And so, yeah, so sometimes I play the guitar, or sometimes my husband, Salik, plays the guitar. Sometimes he plays the drum. And yes, I play. Actually, it's a viola.
Oh,
okay. Violin. It's you know, a lot of people don't know that, but I'll, you know, just say it here.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, actually, there's something about the sound of the viola. It feels very close to the to my human voice. I think it's a similar range to my human voice. So it feels like, yeah, when I play the melody and we're all breathing the words, it feels like the prayer goes through the viola at that point. So
yes.
It's very simple music. It's nothing elaborate, but
yeah, deep from the heart, from the source. Thank you, Jelani. Whoever wants to dance with you can come to the Unicorn Voice Camp or to one of your camps in England. Can look at your website.
Yeah.
What is it called?
That's right. So my website is jelanicordelia.com. Just my names.
I'll put it in the show notes under this interview. Yes.
Thank you. Yes, and I have a little camp at the end of August in Wales that there's room for more people to join still. And various trips through the year, including a trip to Morocco. Like, I know you're also taking a group to Morocco. So. Yeah, wonderful. But, yeah, all welcome. Please get in touch. Have a look at my website. It's also possible to have individual sessions with me, because I do this practice called soul work, which I just mentioned earlier.
It has
a quality of storytelling to it. So you can also book online sessions with me to do that.
Beautiful. I can recommend it from the depth of my heart. If you have the chance, please go there.
Thank you, Annika.
Thank you so much.
Watson, always lovely to talk to you. Your beautiful voice.
Ja, das war's für heute. So schön, dass du da bist. Alle Infos über Jelani findest du auf ihrer Website unter jelanicordelia.com. Ich verlinke es dir hier unter dem Podcast. Und am 22. Oktober starte ich wieder mit Erzähl dich frei, dein Jahrestraining für Erzählerinnen und Erzähler. Und wenn du Lust hast, dich mit mir durchs Jahr zu erzählen, sei gern dabei. Wir erzählen uns durch alle Farben des Lebens. Sinnliches Erzählen, im November das Thema Tod und Wiederkehr, Geschichten über Liebe und Licht in der weihnachtlichen Zeit und die Rauhnächte. Durch die Elemente erzählen wir uns Wasser, Feuer, Erde, Luft und die Elementarwesen, die Kraft, Tiere, Drachen und Elementargeister. Es wird eine wunderbare Reise in die fantastische Welt der Geschichten. Ich freue mich, wenn du Lust hast, dabei zu sein. Wir treffen uns einmal im Monat auf Zoom und du bekommst jeden Monat ein Audio von mir mit einem Impuls und einer Aufgabe für den Monat. Melde dich gern an, direkt über meine Website unter annikahofmann.de. Ich freue mich, wenn wir uns dort sehen. Hab's ganz gut, fühl dich von Herzen umarmt. Es ist so schön, dass es dich gibt. Alles Liebe, deine Annika.